Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. Taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201. Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com as well. Coming to you from, not a racetrack, Sanibel Island. Don't ask me. You know why I'm here. Vacation Barbie to deal with. No, how can I say no? And who am I to pretend that I'm not happy to be here, actually, for a week? Listen, it doesn't change my life, right? I'm going to be here doing for the next five mornings. And a week from today, of course, will come from Louisville and the Derby fortnight. It's upon us. You got literally seconds after they crossed the wire in the Lexington. Things came into focus, at least for now. We've got a few things yet to settle. And principally, decisions from the Asmussen and Chad Brown camp regarding Morello and early voting. That remains pending. And the opportunity potentially for a couple that are sitting on the outside to get in. I'll go over all of that with Kevin Kirstein in about 15 minutes. But the top line, for those that hadn't really followed closely, and not everybody can join in and be on top and follow every twist and turn, but the performance by Tawny Port for Brad Cox, lots of Brad, lots of Chad going on at Keeneland, but the performance of Tawny Port really interesting, because it seemingly, for those that were hoping not to be impacted by the Lexington results for Derby, it seemed like a Tawny Port win was going to be, beneficial. And, of course, things had changed a little bit anyway earlier on Saturday and into Friday when a couple of changes and a couple of wrinkles determined a few things, notably that Chargett and Tawny Port were essentially getting in almost, no matter what. And then Happy Jack, stablemates with Slowdown Andy, spikes a fever, and it gets his stablemate in. So that change, and there were a couple of horses that kind of came off the 21-plus list, and essentially Chargett was no longer threatened by a leapfrog circumstance, and didn't matter because Tawny Port, who was sitting 20th, ended up just adding to his point total. And boy, for Peachtree, for John Fort, it's an interesting scenario, and a horse that, certainly going to be fit, not going to need to do much, having run, twice in couple of weeks, and with just a 3-week lead in to Derby. And it wasn't a big fig, but it frankly didn't really need to be all that big. I mean, he won with authority. What did happen behind him was interesting, though. And some people might have just thought, well, a couple of horses moved around. There was specifically Rich Strike for Eric Reed and his owners that were really hopeful and still are hopeful of getting in, Richard Dawson. And Eric Reed, for those that know from the region, a long time horseman that literally grew up there in the shadow of Keeneland and had some tough things occur. The barn fire, a fire that basically threatened his livelihood and his involvement in the game. And I know that Eric Reed would love to, for his crew to, get a chance in the Derby. And there was a point on, Saturday where they had gotten up as high as they'd gotten as high as 22, but then get pushed back to 24 because of in due time and Ethereal Road garnering just a couple of points. So a little frustrating there. Pushed Rich Strike down to 24. Ethereal Road, 22 points. In due time, 24. Kelly Breen says, they'll monitor. If they can't get in, they'll go straight to Preakness. They'll keep an eye on things. Pioneer Medina, who Pleasure also said he would like to get in. Pioneer of Medina sitting 21st with 25 points. So the only real changes to the pecking order was Tawny Port moving up and Happy Jack moving in. And the decision after Slow Down Andy with a fever. We did hear a nice piece of news from Ricky Corville that Unoho going to be able to run. So we got plenty of workout information and arrival information and more when we talk to KK, to Kevin Kirstein, in just a little bit. Turning to the rest of the weekend, I mean, obviously the Keeneland Grade 1s made for the most focus, and it's bittersweet to me every time Regal Glory does something excellent, like win another Grade 1, and the Jenny Wiley, Jose Ortiz rode her like, she wasn't possibly going to get beat, and that's got to be a great feeling. You know what? We'll talk to Mig. I'll throw that at Mig at 10 o'clock. It's got to be a tremendous feeling to be on a horse and know that, as long as you stay out of trouble and nothing unusual happens, you're going to win. So Regal Glory, it's bittersweet, of course, because of Paul Pompa and Paul's absence, because he would be enjoying this just every step of the way. But she enhanced her already terrific resume. I we'll have to look at this, but I imagine she's got to be Animal Kingdom's top earner, right? I would think. So we'll look that up, actually, when we get a chance. Regal Glory wins the Grade 1 Jenny Wiley. Stablemate loping along behind. And it's funny, when it came to the tickets got busted up anyway. Keeneland just continually proves to be just maddening. Even sometimes when you find the big price, for instance, when it came to Eben the other day, I was I was, aware enough of Eben in that second level allowance. But then I didn't use him in the pick five. So that was tough. That was tough. I got nothing out of it, you know. And every card at Keeneland, there's something that jumps up and bites you. You know, you can find the even on Saturday, the nightcap, that awesome Jerry that won the nightcap for Safi Joseph. Awesome Jerry was, who's a nice enough allowance horse, and it was an allowance. So it's second off the layoff, I guess, but I didn't. So it's tough. It's tough. But that's, that's what makes it fun, actually. And a couple of other performances, of course. Wesley Ward kicking into gear. In fact, we might catch up with, we'll catch up with Wesley, I hope, today or tomorrow. Because Campanelle, with authority in that Giants Causeway, and Ruthen, the Ribchester, in the Limestone. On Friday. So Wesley and other, the two-year-old on, was that on Thursday, that two-year-old, right? I think it was Thursday. Hurricane Debbie? Yeah, that was Thursday. The Brody's Cause won in a romp, actually. In fact, curious. Yeah. There's no figs for the 4.5s, but that was impressive. So look forward to catching up with Wesley. The other grade one, of course, and this was a topic that was certainly got its share of attention on Twitter and the like. And that was what had to be a misprint, had to be a mistake on the 50-1 for Cheryl Spite. And then, of course, goes out and wins the Maker's Mark mile. Yeah, that was, you almost knew. I wasn't interested personally, and I didn't get a chance to play because we were on the travel day. That's why we were off Friday. It was just going to be too difficult to, be able to either start the morning somewhere or stop somewhere as we were making our way down here. It was Tina's Easter break. So I'll talk about this in a minute because it's pretty cool here. I had not been. She came a few years ago when her Easter break, when Easter was very late, and happy Easter and Passover again to everybody. There was one year where her break was the first week of being in Louisville. So she came down here, and she found this really cute, it's called Beachview Cottages, and it's just as pleasant as can be. It's like a little, it's like a 1.5-room efficiency thing. And there's 20 little cottages. Actually, there's a couple different sizes. There's some that'll hold 5-6 people. This is for just the right size for for two, for a couple. So we got here. We thought we weren't going to get here until late Saturday, but we ended up because she was gung ho as can be. We ended up getting here on Friday night. Don't ask me how. We drove. We didn't drive through the night. We drove. We drove seriously. We made it to North Carolina on Thursday night. So we got an extra full day down here. I'd never been, and it is, I've never actually, south of Bradenton, this whole section of the Gulf Coast, I mean, I've tromped around Florida pretty good, but not this section, Fort Myers and what else? Naples. Our neighbors used to go to Sarasota. So anyway, we got a lovely invitation. We got to go to Sip's place while we're here. That's on the agenda, that we were invited and, didn't want to, yeah, we didn't do an Easter brunch or anything yesterday. I will make the prediction. I will be as tanned as anybody will ever see me, because we're going to be here long enough for me to go from the, you know, from the lobster boil red into, you know, at least a burnt sienna. I'll pull out the Crayola box. We'll hold the Crayolas up to me to see what color. What color we end up. I love it. We just heard from Wesley. Wesley Ward will join us this morning around 10:40 after Rich Migliori. A couple of quick notes before we get to Kevin and KK. Have KK to talk to. And Case, why don't you reach for Kevin, and in fact, we got the new phone. Casey got the new. We tested it yesterday, and got the new phones going. We're going to talk to Mike Trombetta, and he's got himself what looks to be a, you know, winning your in the greatness. So Joe won the Tessio, and I thought won really well. I thought he won that race like a champ. He attended the pace. For those that are looking at the clock and saying, it's slow and deep and et cetera. So I didn't think that the time meant all that much in that Tessio win. It was, and I'm not going to, don't let me use the eye test nonsense. But he was attending the pace. He then doffed the two challengers. Then he withstood late pressure from his stablemate, Victor Carrasco. I thought rode him really well. So I'm looking forward to talking to Mike Trombetta about another Preakness starter. And Joe, a declaration of war. And then, as if that wasn't, you know, enough to make for a good weekend, winning the Tessio yesterday with Kaz Kimura. Arzak won the Thorncliffe up at Woodbine. Dreaming of Drew on Saturday won the Long Branch for Barbara Minchel and the Hootie team. Hootie. Who do you think going to beat those Spitesters? Aboard Dream of Drew in the Long Branch. The rest of that Laurel action, we got to get Hammy Smith in here. Hammy has got this Luna Bell, who we talked about, I don't know, over the winter. We talked about her. She's won like five straight stakes. I mean, she's really good. Great notion. Philly wins the Weber City Miss. And has the added benefit, not just of winning these open companies, but is Maryland Million eligible and everything else. A daughter of Great Notion. Ray Handel, I got to get to at some point this week. Ray's. If anybody sees Ray, you tell him to go ahead and answer the phone when we reach him. Disco Faro followed up the maiden win where he beat us, among others, with Scherzando, that, you know, had that huge performance in the maiden win. New York bred American Faro wins the Whiteley. Follows up his maiden win, 91 Bayern, and had an 88 in the win in the race that we were involved in, and heavy on Toledo aboard, and then Stidham sent out Penny Baker to win the Heavenly Cause with Toledo as well. So the racing was good at Laurel on Saturday, and plenty more at Keeneland to talk about beside Tawny Port and Cheryl Spite, Regal Glory, etc. Ruthin. Who did I miss? A couple of there are a couple of notable maiden wins. That there's a horse that Pletcher had. Pletcher had a couple of non-stake wins that that were quite good. After we talked to him the other day, Under Oath, the Spitestown with Pratt, that broke the maiden. That looks like a nice horse. There's a few other. I reached out to Scotty. I don't know if Scott went home maybe for a couple of days to see the family. Probably did, actually, given that it was Easter. But we'll see if we can't get Scott in to do a little Keeneland. I'll save Marty for later in the week. All right, let me get Case. Let me give you this. All right. And we will get. So we're getting close, but we're not 100% yet. We continue to rebuild the. The systems, one by one, as they go. All right, there you go. All right, so Kevin Kirstein, Mike Trombetta, Rich Migliori, Wesley Ward, and more. So the other action, Christoph Clement brought back Plum Ali. Good start, wins the Plenty of Grace. We got to get to Clement this week, too. He's won like stakes 3 weekends in a row. Yeah. So we'll get to Christoph, and should mention Jackie's Warrior. That was a good comebacker. If you were expecting a paid workout, then you know you can. You might have been, I don't know, not disappointed. I thought it was very good, and he should get a ton out of that, and they're looking to come right back in the Churchill Downs with Jackie's Warrior. I thought that was a very good, you know, not cranked up return for the sprint champ. 98 buyer for Jackie's Warrior under Rosario, and so... Good way to come back. And Kevin Kirstein, standing by. KK, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. I want to, first and foremost, for those of you that aren't following Horse Racing KK, you should be, because Kevin is out there every morning with Clocker John up in the stand, and his steady cam. His steady cam efforts taping the works in the morning, and even if it's just, you know, from the 16th pole to the turn, they're still very helpful, and so I appreciate it.
Well, appreciate that, and just trying to keep everyone on Twitter happy about those videos.
Well, let's first and foremost, I sort of hinted, Kevin, at a few of the standings, where things are, and let's get the after effects with the points races in the books.
Sure, you know, it's Road to the Derby was ended, obviously, with the Lexington on Saturday, and I'll tell you what, there's a hefty amount of Derby contenders that are here on the ground already, Steve, and trainer Todd Pletcher shipped in his contingent the other day, and Chad Brown's coming up the road from Lexington shortly. But, you know, currently as we have it, Happy Jacket, number 20 at 30 points, would be the official cutoff. There's obviously some questions with the horses that are, you know, within that top 20 right now of, you know, will they run? Will they go to the Preakness? Will they go to the Pat Day Mile? This, that, and the other. So we're sort of waiting to see how things shake out. Pioneer Medina, who would be, you know, 21 with 25 points. He arrived yesterday for Todd, so he would be, you know, currently first on the AEs, but, you know, maybe able to make his way into that top 20 in due time, who we saw come back in the Lexington. He has 24 points in number 22. Ethereal Road with 24 points, excuse me, in due time. Ethereal Road has 22 points. We know Wayne Lucas is game for pretty much anything, so he's still on there for as of right now. And heard from the Eric Reed camp and Rich Strike that they're very interested if they can make the field. He's 24th right now with 21 points. So, you know, with 19 days remaining until the Derby, we draw on Monday for both the Oaks and the Derby this year on Derby week. So there could be a lot of changes. All these horses are likely going to work twice more. And so, you know, anything can happen within that top 20, but there's some horses that are, you know, sort of down on the list right now that would be game to running in case there are any late defections, but it's certainly shaping up to be one heck of a competitive derby as we see it right now.
Well, and I talked about Eric Reed and what it would mean to him and his team and Sonny Leone to, you know, get into the Derby after all the, you know, difficulties that that Eric had to deal with the fire and you know, basically, you know, rebooting the operation. So kind of rooting for him, and he was so close on Saturday. There was a chance for him to be sitting, 22nd right now. But the points that In Due Time and Ethereal Road were able to garner, Eric needed those two to get shut out. The thing that was interesting, and I didn't see where anybody asked Brad Cox the question. He had told me earlier in the week, Kevin, that they wanted the dirt start anyway, that John Fort was, you know, he wanted to give, he wanted to give Tawny Port another, you know, dirt spin, but once it became obvious that they were in the Derby field, essentially, it became, you know, I guess that's what the exercise became, just the opportunity to get a dirt try-in.
Yeah, it certainly seemed that way, and, you know, I don't think that, you know, the Cox camp wanted to take any chances, per se, of, you know, maybe waiting and seeing and not, you know, getting enough points to make it in the Derby with this horse. Because I feel like, you know, John Ford, as you said, wanted to make sure that they had enough points to run this horse in the Derby. And they proved it on Saturday that this horse certainly did well and took to the dirt, maybe needed that Risen Star, which has come back to be one heck of a phenomenal championship series race on the road to the Derby once again this year. You know, lots of the top runners have come out of that Risen Star, including Tawny Port. And so, it seems like they're game to give it a go again in the Derby and short rest. And, we'll see for me, but it sounds like Cox is game to go.
Let's actually do the exercise. I saved this. We did it last week, and actually we've done it a couple of times in the past month or so, given everybody a snapshot. We now not only have, you know, this set of 20 with a couple of decisions pending, essentially. We'll talk about early voting and Morello in a minute, both with 50 points and both, not 100% firm at all to participate, but let's go through this, Kevin. If you've got anything different than I've got, just jump at it. Epicenter, of course, with Asmussen and Rosario, Zandon, Chad Brown, and Flavian Pratt. Whiter Barrio, who worked very nicely yesterday for Zaffy Joseph. Tyler Gaffalione is going to ride. Mo Donegal for Todd Pletcher with IRAD. Tis the Bomb, McPeak, and Brian Hernandez Jr. There's your first five.
Yeah, that's all seems right to me, and we'll see on the Kenny horses. I know that, you know, Brian was on Tis the Bomb and worked him the other morning, and Corey has been working and riding Smile Happy, which we'll get to in a couple minutes. But you know, I always see, you know, the McPeak camp. I always don't put the jockey's name down in complete ink, because you never know.
Well, the way in which this used to be maintained on Darren's big board, that was always the authority. The big board lives only in memory these days, but We still get to keep tabs. We have to keep tabs. Cyberknife, Florent Giroux for Brad Cox and Al Gold. Crown Pride, Shintani with Christophe Lemaire, right?
Yeah, that was the plan, I think, for them. I haven't heard anything differently, so we're going to roll with it until we hear.
All right. Taba, of course, Tim Yakteen, and Mike Smith. Simplification, Antonio Sano with Jose Ortiz, and number 10, Smile Happy. I've got Corey Lannery penciled in, but talk about what you're hearing from the McPeak camp regarding his pair.
You know, I'm not hearing anything differently on the jock changes. I just know I've seen it in the past just with some of the stakes here at Churchill, and so I I just don't, you know, as a publicist, don't necessarily, you know, I'll put it down if that's, they confirm it. But if it's not officially confirmed, I sort of keep it in pencil just in case.
Well, there are a few horses that do not have confirmation, and Brad Cox, in terms of riders, and Brad Cox has got his pair now, Tawny Port and Zozos, with decisions pending.
Yeah, that sort of seems to be, you know, trying to see who's available. So I'm sure Brad's phone is ringing off the hook with jocks agents, but what jocks and, you know, sort of the top echelon of riders in the country are not spoken for already in this year's Derby, and who would be available to ride either of these two horses?
Well, and we can mention in the next pair, Tawny Port sitting at 11, Barbara Road and Un Ojo, and was very happy for Ricky Corville to get the okay after you know, getting some staples removed from the shoulder of Un Ojo, suffered in the Arkansas Derby. But the Leoban son with one eye, he's okay to go. And Ramon Vasquez has got the call, and Rick and Raylu Gutierrez on Barber Road. And so, in a Derby where there's a few riders that are going to be certainly discussed, and they'll certainly be excited for Raylu Gutierrez and Vasquez, to get this kind of exposure. You know, this is something that I'll let Mig talk about this, in fact, next hour, the opportunity to ride derbies.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to Ray the other morning, and, you know, he rides Barber Road in the Derby, Hidden Connection in the Oaks, and it sounds like he's bringing in a large contingent of his friends and family from upstate New York to come down and be here for Derby, and so he's really excited to have all of his friends and family here. And he was over at the John Ortiz barn this morning just checking in on Barber Road. So you can tell that Ray is very excited and much looking forward to riding the Derby. He's a great kid, and I think he has a bright future in this game. It's good to see him rewarded in these two top stages as in the Derby and the Oaks this year.
In addition to, of course, the rider assignments and in part the jock agents that are responsible, for this cast. There's also the portion of this that we discuss all the time about the bloodlines, and the fact that there are two race day sons in this field is quite something, actually. It's one thing to have the gun runners and Not This Time and, the names that have been, dominating with the early crops, but to have for race day, who's available in Korea, for him to have a pair in this between White of Barrio and Barber Road is really amazing. And that's something we can, go back to when we talk to Sid these next few weeks. Morello and Early Voting, and they're both sitting 14th and 15th with 50 points. Early Voting with a few more dollars earned in restricted grades and in restricted stake earnings. And how close do you think the two camps are to decisions?
I would, I can see them both working once and then the decision coming early next week. If I would be to gamble, I can see that happening. I think Chad has publicly said that he wanted to see, Early Voting trained before they made any sort of decisions. And I could see that happening with Morello again, too. Asmussen's on the Sunday work schedule for many of his top contenders, so he'll likely work Sunday here at Churchill. And then I could see some news coming down from the pipelines just to, confirm whether they would go Early Voting, for instance, the Preakness or the Pat Day Mile, and Morello, would he go to the Pat Day Mile or the Derby?
Messier, Johnny V for Tim Yakteen, the Empire Maker, of course. Zozos, the other Brad Cox, the third Brad Cox runner. And for a guy that didn't have any Derby horses in February, he ended up having a pretty good lineup of three in here.
It's pretty amazing because, we sort of even saw it as when, the latter stages of these horses' two-year-old campaigns, it sort of didn't seem like Brad was going to, have any major noise this year in the Derby, and then he ends up with three. It's just pretty amazing and just goes to show you how talented of a trainer this guy is, and spotting his horses in the perfect spots to make them eligible for the Derby.
The last three, summer is tomorrow with Mikhail Barcelona, charge it, now safely in as of Saturday with Luis Saez. And I guess did he arrive yesterday or this morning?
He arrived yesterday morning.
Okay. And then Happy Jack, Doug O'Neill, you didn't have to feel too badly for the O'Neill barn because no sooner did Slowdown Andy withdraw with a fever, got his stablemate in. Abel Cedillo is going to ride.
Quite the, quite the cast there for 20 in this year's Derby. And I'll tell you what, yeah, Happy Jack sounds like their game, wanted to give it another go. And it's, Charge It, I think, had some people questioning just probably because of, the lack of foundation that this horse had. But seems like his work down in Florida last week impressed the Pletcher camp, and he'll work again Friday here at Churchill Downs. And so it sounds like Derby is a go for that one as well.
Kev, I was so focused on what was happening with Happy Jack and the Lexington that I really wasn't paying attention when the post Lexington press release came out. I really wasn't watching for the any Oaks declarations or any changes on the Oaks lineup. Why don't you bring everybody up to speed on where we are with the Oaks?
Yeah, 14 will go in the Oaks, and it seems like a lot of the top fillies are planning on running in this year's Oaks. And it's, one of the questions I keep posing to people and joking around with, who do you think goes favored in this year's Oaks? And it's really, I think, a coin flip between four very talented fillies in Castellino, Echo Zulu, Nest, and Secret Oath. And they're all, game and seem like they're ready to go, and it's very exciting to see the Oaks be as competitive as it is this year on Friday, May the 6th. Several of these fillies are here already. Mentioned Echo Zulu, who worked on Sunday, Nest for the Pletcher camp. Venti Valentine, who for Jorge Abreu, is going to be stable in the Chad Brown barn. They have some familiar ties from back in the day. That filly arrived on Saturday. Secret Oath for Wayne is going to take a lot of attention. The current cutoff, 14, Shahama for Todd Pletcher, who has been training up to the Oaks, has been on a bit of a layoff since she won over in Dubai and then got transferred to Todd. But, the horses that are below that 14th spot cutoff in the Oaks seem like they're very interested in running. Shotgun Hottie, Adair Manor, a late nom, Ain't Easy, Beguine, a late nom. It seems like they're all game. And on the latest leaderboard update, Bubble Rock was officially number 17. She'd get bumped down a little bit because of the late noms, which closed on Saturday. She's actually not going to give it a go, so the next leaderboard update, you'd see her crossed off. But it sounds like a lot of the top fillies are interested in giving it a go in this year's Oaks, and it's turning out to be one of the more competitive renditions of the Longines Kentucky Oaks that I've seen in my tenure here at Churchill Downs.
10 years, unbelievable. KK, before we go, and I will see you by Sunday next week. Any other elements? I mean, we'll have plenty of opportunity next week to kind of set the stage. How many horses are on the grounds actually right now?
Let's count. It's probably upwards of,
I'm curious,
between 850 and 900 horses right now that are on the grounds. There are a lot that arrived this weekend.
Derby horses. How many Derby horses are on hand?
I think the official count is 12 right now, if I'm doing the quick math in my head, because of the Todd Pletchers that arrived on Saturday and Sunday. And so lots of action Friday and Saturday here. Friday you're going to have the Pletcher charge work of Mo Donegal and Charge It. And then Saturday, and also on Friday, Zozos will work. Saturday you'll have Smile Happy, Tis the Bomb. Maybe Crown Pride will work back again. Haven't heard with their camp. And Cyberknife Sunday Epicenter will work, as well as Barber Road. And we'll also see Un Ojo is planning on shipping in this week. So lots of action here on the Derby front of horses shipping in. We've sort of seen those late arrivals in recent years of you know, some of the California and Florida horses. You're still going to see a little bit of that. The next wave of horses will come probably with Chad Brown and Zandon, who I think is going to work at Keeneland once and then ship up here, just have it a little bit quieter, and then ship up to Churchill. Simplification, White Abario, Taba, Messier all seem like late arrivals into the game, so we won't see them until Derby week, until they're completed their major work and their home tracks. And so lots of action right now, Churchill. The Derby training starts on Saturday from 7:30 to 7:45 a.m. You'll be able to catch that on the Kentucky Derby social media channels, and then the full Kentucky Derby work show begins on Monday, a week from today, with expert analysis, interviews, the whole kit and caboodle on the Kentucky Derby social media channels and YouTube. So be sure to check that out, but it'll be exciting to watch all these horses Saturday during that first window of the Derby works from 7:30 to 7:45.
Horse Racing KK, and again, a reminder, you got to add, in addition to following Derby Media and the other assorted, obviously, the Briz team, Scully and Schaap and everybody, and Joe Kristofek, et cetera. But Horse Racing KK, and every morning early, you know, when you're getting up and already excited about the day's activities when it comes to the Derby and Oaks Runners and everything else that we're going to see in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And Kev is out there with the camera and keeping all of us right on top of it. Kev, I appreciate it. And I think I saw, and I didn't send you a note, is there going to be a second Kirstein joining the household?
Just call me Top Sire KK. Yeah, a little KK is coming in September.
Well, mazel tov and best wishes. Delighted for you guys, and that's nice. That's great. Well done.
Well, we'll have to see if the wife wants to see what my stats are first time gelding, but, you know, I don't know about that.
Is this the official, or we're going to see if there's a determinant of whether you guys go on with it and build you could take the Scott Hazelton route and build your own broodmare band.
You know, I don't think we need to have any broodmares or any additional sires. I think one and one is perfect in my mind. But as I say, it's not up to me.
That's great. I love it. All right. Kev, I appreciate it, and we'll catch up. I'll see you. I'll see you on Sunday.
Excellent. You'll be what shade of red? We need to find out the official shade of red that you'll be when I see you on Sunday. You need to be prepared.
Well, get the big box of Crayola. And right now, I think burnt umbra continues to be, or burnt sienna continues to be the favorite.
Hey, we'll find some obscure color, and that's what we'll call you, until you get to the Kentucky Pale, which that'll transform in a couple weeks.
Right, well, exactly. I mean, I heard yesterday Tina's talking to her friend Fawn, and I guess it snowed in the Saratoga area yesterday for Easter.
So, well,
and it's crazy.
It's 39 degrees right now in Kentucky with overcast skies, and I'm watching the Todd Pletcher camp come by me right now, jogging on the track, and they're all wearing jackets and gloves, and I'm sitting in my car with the heat on at 75 degrees. So,
unbelievable.
It'll warm up. It's going to be 80 on Sunday.
All right. All right. Well, and we'll leave it for Pat Cummings to be the first person to put out the Derby long range forecast. That Pat owns that tweet. That's I think he trademarked that.
Interesting. I figured it was that. is there like a Wet Marshall guy or someone on Twitter? I'll be sitting on the edge of my seat regardless of waiting for that weather tweet.
Well, I mean, the people that are actual forecasters that do it for a living, that's a different story. Pat's usually the first to come out with the two-week. He'll look for it on Thursday night, maybe. He'll have the 14-day advance forecast, I guarantee.
Hopefully he doesn't include it in one of his big papers that he's writing, because I want to scan through that.
Yeah, exactly.
Pat, are we going to be all right for Derby, or what's the plan?
That's great. I love it. Kevin Kirstein, everybody. Horse Racing KK. Kevin, I appreciate it. We'll see you Sunday.
All right. See you in a few days.
Kevin Kirstein, everybody. And that was a good line. Is Pat going to bury the 2-week Derby forecast in a white paper? That was pretty good. Mike Trombette is going to join us next, as soon as Kay gives me the high sign, and Mig at the top of the hour, plus Wesley Ward, and more. So, and I do have confirmation. Our friend Steve Carlin, who is a partner with our horses and has been involved for years with Team Valor, when I was mentioning Regal Glory and Animal Kingdom, he speculated about Oleksandra. And I'd forgotten that she was an Animal Kingdom, but Regal Glory, far and away, Animal Kingdom's top earner. So, just one of those little tidbits you pick up along the way. While we wait for Mike and talk to him about his 2 stake wins over the weekend, I do want to slip in the really awful piece of news that came Saturday morning. A groom that works for Todd Pletcher had been killed, been murdered I shouldn't say that, because that portion hasn't been, determined. I suppose there's more, but the last we heard, the details have been sort of withheld, but just thoughts out to the family. Todd Pletcher quoted as saying that somebody that came to work for him in November and has been a terrific employee for the barn. So very sad. Mike Trombetta is standing by. I can hear Mike, and he's obviously at the racetrack. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I was excited to talk to you anyway. I was watching the Laurel action on Saturday, and Joe with a win-and-you're-in Tessio performance for the Preakness, and then you turn around and you win yesterday, start off the season right at Woodbine as well. Great job with Arzak, who wins the Thorncliff. So, nice weekend.
Yeah, it was a very good weekend, and, we've been waiting, like everybody else, for Woodbine to get opened up to give some of those types a chance to run, and that horse, he's won 2 races up in there. He kind of likes it up there.
Well, and we'll talk about it in a minute, and the prospects for the season 2 at Woodbine. But Mike, first and foremost, I thought Joe was absolutely terrific on Saturday, winning that Tessio, and he did everything that he was asked to do.
He did, and actually thought his stablemate was going to get past him there for a minute, and he dug in and fought gamely to prevail. So, I mean, I couldn't be happier with the outcome of that race.
Talk a little bit about his development, and I mentioned that, that I thought that the effort, I wasn't worried about, an 86 buyer. To me, it seemed like the way he did this, really bodes well for a couple of things. This was a mile and an eighth, so, a mile and 3/16. I mean, Stuart Grant homebred by declaration of war out of an Archmare, career best, another step forward. Talk about how he got here.
It's been a good season for him. He's done what he's supposed to, and, it was a little unfortunate he lost the last race. But, he came back and made up for it in this one.
Mentioned Stuart Grant and homebred. What else do we know as he stretched out for you?
Yes, I mean, Stuart's,
you know, I don't think he's interested in running in the Preakness, honestly. And he really has just said keep him local and see what kind of horse he develops into. And although it is a win and you're in, I do believe we'll probably go a different route at this point. I just don't know what that route looks like just yet.
You know, just looking even at the buyers, I mean, virtually every step he has gone forward, and you did start him on the turf, which you can understand between the Archmare and Declaration of War. At a glance, the pedigree had a lot of turf look to it, but it feels like there's more to gain from staying on the dirt with him.
Honestly, that turf race, I would not hold that against him. It was 5.5, and, you know, he didn't know a whole lot about what he was doing. I just took that opportunity to go ahead and run him there because I could. But don't be surprised if you don't see him in on a turf at another time.
How about Mr. Jefferson?
Very pleased with him. Now, him, I know what the plan will be. If he returns out of this race well, he'll be in the Sir Barton.
Oh, there you go. That's a natural.
Yep. So that I'm pretty certain is where he'll wind up.
This is a Larry Johnson homebred by Constitution, out of a Malibu Moon mare. Did you have that mare?
Oh yeah. Yep. Certainly did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Clock struck 12.
Yep. She didn't do a lot of running. She had some quality, but she didn't do a lot of running and. He's a lovely foal. He's a beautiful foal.
This, you know, I guess we should note as well that this is another horse out of the Remsen.
Exactly.
The Remsen. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that was the conversation I had with Jamie Rodriguez. He wasn't familiar with this horse. I said, but if he runs his Remsen back race, if he runs that race back, he's good enough to win. And I'm, you know, he did. Well, he ran that kind of race again. So
he's a horse. What's crazy, Mike? Maybe you can explain it horse players and fans. Here's a horse that won attending the pace going three quarters, and yet as the distances have stretched out for him, he's been a closer.
Yeah, he started to kind of develop in a different way. And, you know, when it comes to these horses, you know, they're a little bit of an unraveling mystery. You know, what you necessarily see early on doesn't mean it's going to continue. You know, things change, surfaces change, distances change. They mature. You know, there's just a lot of dynamics that go into play over time that changes the outcome.
Well, Mr. Jefferson and Joe, what a nice exacta, and you're right. It sure did look mid stretch or late past the 16th pole that Mr. Jefferson was going to go by, and that to me, that's what was so impressive about Joe's effort was that he attended the. You could see on the turn when Carrasco. You know, gave him a cue. He pulled away from who was it? Secret Alliance, and it was another. Oh, the Vine Jet, the two pace setters. He moved away from them readily, and then was able to withstand the late pressure. And you could see that he threw his neck and head and shoulders forward. He was not going to let Mr. Jefferson by.
Yeah, no, he did. He definitely resurged and dug down and found a little more to give.
Well, not so bad. And, Mike, let's go up to Woodbine and set the stage for your Woodbine season because I don't know what has gone into the – to taking advantage of the Woodbine program because you were out in front of this – pretty early, you were sending horses up more readily than a lot of people.
Yeah, you know, I kind of know what their book's going to look like, and it gives you a chance to run turf for synthetic horses a little more with more availability than we have down here, especially this time of the year. And you know, it's just been, I've made it part of our program that, you know, that's a condition book that I look through, and if I have horses that fit that program, I am not bashful about putting them on a truck and sending them up there to run.
Well, and that includes, you know, that includes, I imagine, you know, plenty of horses that, that had gone through tries in Erie, right? I mean, you've got enough of, you know, of a conveyor belt out to Presque Isle and get some, you know, some synthetic test runs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so many of these horses that, you know, have turf form and also have synthetic form, you know, the great equalizer is they don't take them off the synthetic and run them on dirt. So, you know, it gives you a little bit more continuity. And the one thing for sure is if we send them up there to run turf or synthetic, they're going to run on one of those two.
Yeah, this is Sonata Stable, and it was the seasonal debut for this colt. And there's some things to be excited about. I mean, the career best. In fact, I'm just going back and noticing 99 buyer, Mike. I mean, this is a big effort.
Is that what he? I wasn't even aware that it came back that fast. I'm not surprised. You know, we at the end of the year, I think he was a little tired, and he had some bad luck last season. So we decided to send him back to Ocala for a couple of months, and we gave him 60 or 90 days off, and they got him going again, and they sent him back to us relatively early. I actually got him, I want to say, like sometime in January, and we've had more than enough time to train on and do it, and he's trained really well. And honestly, I was hoping to hit the board in that race. For him to jump up and run like that,
wow,
was really exciting.
Jeez, and you know, he's now 3 for 5 on synthetic, and that it's funny. How many horses right now do we know? It might take quite a bit into the season. He's probably the first horse in the country to win on 3 different synthetic surfaces: Gulfstream, Keeneland, and Gulfstream, Woodbine, and Presque Isle.
Yep. Yeah, he's hit them all.
That's pretty funny. And he won the Tom Ridge last summer. Boy, this gives, I think this gives you quite a number of options. Is he as effective?
Yeah.
How much? He doesn't look as effective on turf sprinting though, and turfing.
You know, he does okay, but he does seem to be a little bit better towards the synthetic, but I'm hoping this season with some maturity and, you know, a few more shots at it, that if he catches the right circumstances on the turf, that he can raise his game a little bit on that as well.
How are you, in addition to sending, you know, horses up for spots, have you maintained any, you know, any string up there at all?
Well, I have someone I work with up there, and
yes,
you know, we, you know, sometimes we'll leave them there for an extra race, and then we just kind of rotate them in and out and out of Fair Hill mostly, and try to run as much as we can in the spots that we fit.
Well, you know, I focused on the 2 stake winners, but it was a pretty good weekend because you also won at Aqueduct, that Camp I Love. With Trevor, nice win on Saturday.
Yeah, now that one's a crazy story. You know, we ran her at Turfway. We put her back in at Turfway. The race didn't go. We put her in at Keeneland. She got excluded. We put her in at Maryland. The race didn't go. New York was not my first choice. And it just goes to show you, sometimes you take a shot and you get rewarded. So it worked out really good.
Nice. Well, let's also look ahead. And in fact, Wednesday at Parks, McQueen's Bullet. Oh, there's a fun name. I would like the name already. This is an old the Pennsylvania bred of Linda Merritt's that has knocked on the door and has earned $40,000, but just can't seem to graduate.
I'm hoping to get him through that next. That would be a nice thing to have happen. He's getting close, and I'm sure he's going to win here real soon.
How about those 2 allowance runners on Friday at Laurel, Combat Queen, and who knows what?
you know, both are very steady, consistent horses. So with a little luck, they should run okay.
All right. Well, beside that, how many left in Florida?
Still got a few down there, but we're coming out of there this week, and we're going to be heading to Mama. So we got to get that barn opened up and get ready.
Outstanding. Well, Mike, as always, delighted for you, and great way to kick off the Woodbine season and the Tessio. Always, how many Tessios have you won? That might have been the first one.
That's one race that it's eluded me. So I was glad to. I think that was our first one.
How about that? Nice job.
Yeah.
What about?
Thank you.
One more. Not at all. One more to ask about. Continental Congress off the maiden win.
Definitely improving horse, and looking forward to her 3-year-old season.
A little colonial down the pike too. Virginia bred?
Yeah, she's with the Virginia bred stuff. She'll be there for sure.
Terrific. Mike Trombetta, everybody. How was Easter? Did you get to spend with the family yesterday,
good.
Right?
Yeah, I got to. My kids were all home, so it was all good and fun.
Outstanding. Mike Trombetta, everybody. Mike, thanks so much. Well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mike Trombetta, everybody. And nice start to the season for him. Woodbine, and there's the news on Joe. No Preakness. So take him off the Preakness potential list. Let's take top of the hour break. Mig next. I've already got a couple of things to run by him, and Wesley Ward in this hour. Stay with us. Coming to you from Sanibel Island, of all places, for the week, it's pretty cool. My first time here. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning. Learn more at CountryLifeFarm.com.
Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day of the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series. Yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
'Career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, tiny-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents...